Good morning. Good morning, everybody. I am so excited to be here. Welcome to the Flourish Academy's Thursday Room, Psychedelic Microdosing 101, where we meet every Thursday morning as part of the Flourish Academy to talk about everything and anything to do with microdosing. And today I'm super excited to have Helena Zhu and Segun Bollinger, who we'll invite up in just a second, with us today as our guests, speaking about a topic that has had a lot of interest from our community, which is, of course, microdosing 5-MeO-DMT. Now, I am having just a little bit of nerves here, I'm finding, because I am using Club Deck, which is the laptop version of Clubhouse, which I haven't used for a couple of years, maybe, because it was so flaky in the past. And I'm just trying it again now. I know Wendy uses it regularly, so that gives me a little bit of confidence, but I'm just feeling like the technology more than the conversations or the presenting is always the thing that gives me the most nerves. So I'm hoping everything goes slowly. I mean, goes slowly, goes smoothly. And forgive me if there's any glitches. I'm so glad, Wendy, that you're here just to kind of back me up here as we go, but I am excited to be back on Club Deck and just seeing who's joining us today and welcoming everybody to Psychedelic Microdosing 101, where today we are so honored to have our guests, Helena and Segun, to talk with us about microdosing 5-MeO-DMT. So before we get started here, I gotta read my disclaimers and kick us off the right way. While I'm doing that, what I'd love to encourage you to do is to ping other people into the room to join us. You can do that, on your phones. I'm trying to figure out how to do it here on Club Deck. There are actually a lot of ways that you can share this room. If you look at the bottom of your screen on your phone, there should be a square with an arrow pointing out, and also a person with a plus. So you can copy the link and share it out through your social media channels or ping other people in who are here on Clubhouse. And the reason I'm encouraging this is I think it's so important to have these well-informed discussions as more and more, particularly mainstream populations, are becoming interested in psychedelics for healing and for growth. And microdosing is a particular interest to so many people, and just for people's safety, for harm reduction, to increase the propensity for the results that they are hoping to experience through microdosing. It's just important that we share our knowledge widely and make it really accessible to everybody. So that's why I encourage, if there's anybody that you know who you think might find value out of joining us in this room, I just encourage you to spend a couple minutes now inviting them in or sharing the room out to join us. So we are the Flourish Academy. We are not licensed medical or licensed mental health professionals. Nothing said in this room is meant to be medical, mental health, business, financial, or legal advice. We don't promote or advocate any illegal activity. And in many cases, we know that taking and having psychedelics is illegal. So we are here for education and harm reduction only. On that note, this room doesn't tolerate any sourcing of substances. So please don't offer, please don't ask. We are honored to have many world-class experts and guests join us in our rooms for deep dives into specific and sometimes controversial topics. We're proud to create a forum for these conversations. However, hosting a guest does not necessarily imply that we endorse their viewpoints. The Flourish Academy is a safe space, free of judgment. We're a community and a family that supports and encourages each other. So with that in mind, please do keep your shares respectful and also respectful of time. For those of you who are new to joining us in these shows, we spend about the first 45 minutes or so in a podcast-style interview with our guests. And then during that period of time, we'll be inviting other people to come and join us on stage. You can put your hand up if you're interested. And after about the first 45 minutes, we open it up for audience participation. So you can ask your questions directly of our guests. You can share your stories. and we do try to get around to everybody in the room who is wanting to participate, giving them space to participate in the 90 minutes. So you'll always know how many people are after you and how many other people might like to share as well. Please note that all our rooms with guest speakers are recorded and may be shared within and outside of Clubhouse. So if you do make a choice to join us, you are implicitly agreeing to being recorded. To ensure we have a open, safe, and comfortable space for all our community members to have the freedom to share, we also host Share and Care open forum shows in rooms that are not recorded. And finally, before we begin, we would just like to take a moment of gratitude. And I'd love to invite you, if it's safe and comfortable for you, to just pause, close your eyes maybe, take a deep breath in, a deep breath of gratitude for our lungs. And exhale as we express gratitude to each and every one of you for joining us today, for being interested in healing and growth. We are grateful to Mother Earth, who holds us in the belly of her womb and who gifts us with sacred plant medicines to expand our consciousness, to heal and to grow. We're grateful to our ancestors, to those who've come before us, and to the Indigenous people of all our lands who have, over time, shared the beauty and the mystery of these plants with us. Okay, thank you so much for joining me in that moment there. I do find it really helps to ground me and help me to be present for the discussion ahead. And I'm very excited to have a discussion with Helena and Sagan. They are an encore presentation for Helena and Sagan. They have been with us before, maybe a couple of years ago in the psychedelics room. And I know that Josh, who used to be a moderator for the Clubhouse, many of you will remember him. He actually traveled to Vancouver, Canada, particularly to work with Helena and Sagan with 5MEO after their incredible conversation and presentation in the last time they were guests here on Clubhouse, which is why we're super honored to have them back again, knowing that they have changed so many people's lives, even within the Flourish Academy. Sagan and Helena are passionate about creating loving, safe, and effective containers for fellow human beings to take their journeys back to their hearts. They facilitate transformative 5-MEO DMT individual, couple, and weekend retreats experiences, and also host integration circles, facilitator circles, and community sound baths. I don't know if you guys can hear the fire alarm in my unit is going, or not in my unit, in my condo is going off. So now I just have to plug in my earphones to protect you. 1 second. So much for using this club deck without earphones. It would be the day that we have a fire alarm. Give me 1 second. Okay. Hoping y'all can still hear me. Looks like it. Okay, back to the introduction. Sagan and Helena received training from Toad School for 5-MEO DMT facilitation, which I can highly recommend, and that is also where I am trained in 5-MEO facilitation. They've trained with Phoenix Academy Psychedelic Therapy Training and Vancouver Crisis Center for Crisis Intervention and Suicide Prevention. Sagan is a community leader with the Flying Sage Psychedelic Community. That's a community here that is based in Vancouver, but now has a lot of online offers as well, a lot of courses and just various ways to be part of the international Flying Sage Psychedelic Community. I'm proud to say that I'm also a community leader with the Flying Sage, and I'm super proud to say that Michael Oliver, who is the founder of the Flying Sage Community, is actually going to be with us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in our Psychedelics 101 room to talk about building psychedelic community. So if any of you are interested, come back and join us tomorrow. Sagan completed his Bachelor of Science in Psychology and Philosophy with high distinction and Master of Science in Artificial Intelligence from the University of Toronto, while Helena graduated from UBC, University of British Columbia, with her Bachelor of Arts in Economics and International Relations and a Master of Arts in Economics. She's worked in community building, journalism in New York City, policy with the Canadian federal government, and international development with North Korea. So Helena and Sagan, welcome so much. So happy to have you here. Between the two of you, you can figure out when each one of you or both of you want to come on or off mic. But I did want to kick things off, you know, just first of all, by giving you a moment, just as we pause at the beginning of each show to sort of express some gratitude, particularly to those who have come before us. Just a moment to hand it over to you to say hello to the community and maybe let us know, you know, anywhere that you might like to place some gratitude, any mentors, any teachers, any people who have influenced you to be where you are today. So just pause for Helena or Sagan to join us with that question.
Thank you so much, Dana, and thank you, Wendy and Josh. And I see some of our friends are also here in the room, and just a lot of gratitude that we get to come here for this conversation. And Dana, it's incredible courage to still hold down the fort with that fire alarm in your home. One of Sagan and my worst fear, when we're facilitating our apartment, any community events, is definitely the fire alarm going off. So good for you. And for gratitude, I thought that was a very beautiful way to start. Last night I talked to my mom about ancestors, or more precisely, she wanted to talk to me about ancestors. And she has her own spiritual practice, and over the phone, she tried to express to me that she thinks we've amounted to everything that we get to experience today because of the work and the love and the dedication of our ancestors. And with a bit of further reflection, I think that's very much true. And that in this life that we were all just born sometime in the last few decades, and yet we're here with all of our trees and with grass that someone else tended to, animals that rear themselves and that we as humans also take care of. And I think it's just we're here on Earth in such a beautiful place. And specifically in the 5-MeO-DMT field, we have a lot of people to thank. And but I also just think in general, I don't even know where to start. That list of names will be very long. And just all I can say is keep passing it forward. So really happy to be here and really grateful to everybody that's helped me and that's helped us and that continue to be there for us.
Oh, Helena, that was just beautiful. Thank you. I just kind of sank into that. It felt really good in my heart. And also my fire alarm has gone off. So I'm also my heart is beating a little bit less fast than it was for a few moments there. So thank you so much for that. And I just want to welcome Josh for a second. Josh is one of our previous moderators and someone who has worked with Helena and Sagan in the past as well. And it's just so good to see you here with us today, Josh. Anyone who feels compelled to come and join us up on the stage while we're speaking, go ahead, come and join us, join the party. We'll be moving around to audience participation a little bit later in the day. But one of the things I wanted to ask you both, you know, Helena and Sagan, when I'm reading off your bios and looking at your past, you know, your bachelor's of science, master of science in AI, master of arts in economics, international relations, like how did you get to what you're doing today, facilitating 5-MeO-DMT, and why 5-MeO?
Yeah, I can should take that one. Yeah, first of all, yeah, thank you so much for having us here, Dana. And I think for me, you know, it was really, you know, throughout my life, there were different currents, you know, my interest into what I felt called to in my explorations. You know, there was always sort of an outward career, and there was always sort of this inward exploration, inward career, and, you know, very much with, you know, say my undergrad in psychology and philosophy, there was this, you know, there was a big part of that was this inward calling for depth, for, you know, finding the substance and the meaning that I could find through inner explorations as well. So I think, you know, there was this balance, you know, with AI, there was certainly this, you know, this desire to understand the mind and, you know, from sort of an objective external perspective. But the other side of that too is also, well, you know, how do we take as many lenses as possible on this thing that's so intimate to us that we all have? But I think, you know, in my journey, it was really that desire to, I think in the end, it was, you know, that desire to be most connected to that intimate firsthand experience and really connect with other people on that level that drew me toward working with psychedelics and working with people one-on-one in this therapeutic setting. So yeah, it was definitely a process. I think there were different turning points for me, different points of realization that, you know, this is what I wanted to devote my life to, but it feels like it's been a process of sort of coming home for me, of, you know, figuring out what the thing that feels the most meaningful, the most connected, is for me.
I love that, just the way that you ended off with, you know, it feels like a coming home for you, and being able to share that with others as well. Well, guys, I know our community has been asking for a room that's going to go kind of over the how to microdose with 5, you know, including dose, protocol, method of consumption, benefits, etc. And I know that that we originally were going to call this room with you healing in community with 5-MeO-DMT. I think it was, we're talking a lot about community. So I'm excited to really dive into that and hear your perspectives and how you work with microdosing this medicine. But I thought I'd just start with, you know, what people are like, why are people microdosing with 5-MeO-DMT? Why are people choosing to do this? And what kind of benefits are you seeing, or could they expect?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, in our, I think one of the ways that we work with microdosing is we run our community sound baths, where we offer these low 1 or 2 milligram doses of 5-MeO. And, you know, it plays a number of interesting roles. You know, one of them is definitely people that have had higher doses of the medicine. It's an opportunity to come back in a safe container and sort of tap back into some of those spaces that they visited in the higher doses. So with 5-MeO in particular, but this also happens to some extent with other psychedelic medicines, we have this phenomenon called reactivations, where, you know, even without any medicine in the time after your big dose, you have this experience of going back into the psychedelic experience that you had originally. And sometimes it's a slowing down or sort of a hashing out of that experience. But what that also means is that with a low dose, there can be sort of this increased sensitivity to go back into those full experiences, even with a low dose. So that's something that that can be quite powerful. And also, you know, it's, you know, we see those spaces as a really good way of just, you know, being a safe introductory space for this molecule. You know, it's interesting, you know, when we talk about microdosing 5-MeO, so even a 1 milligram dose can be a really powerful experience. You know, it's definitely, for most people, it's not a sub-perceptual experience, which, you know, in some people's minds, that's what a microdose is. It can actually be a a substantial journey in its own right. And it's I think a lot of it, what we're learning is a lot of the way people react to it is a function of sort of the allowance that people bring to the experience, the safety of the container, both the external container they're in, but the container they're able to create inside themselves. And when there is that safety and that allowance, people can have fairly powerful experiences, even on a 1 milligram dose. Not sure if I fully answered your question there, but start with that.
That definitely started to answer the question. And I'm curious, okay, we've talked a little bit. You've kind of dove a little bit into, how this God molecule, how five is a bit different than other entheogens, and why you work with it differently. Maybe we can dive into. Actually, just take a little step back before we get into too much more about that. If some people here may not even know what we mean by talking about the God molecule and 5-MeO-DMT. So let's just take a little step back and start with, that whole concept of how it's different from other entheogens. So what is the God molecule and how is it different from other entheogens?
I can talk a little more about that. For myself, for a long time in my psychedelic exploration, 5-MeO-DMT wasn't on the radar. So I think everyone can forgive themselves that if you haven't heard of this medicine before, and I still consider quite a niche medicine. And more folks may have heard of DMT, and usually that's referring to what I prefer to call NMDMT. And that's been very popularized by Terence McKenna. And with 5-MeO-DMT, the most recent known discovery was in the 1960s when it was found in the secretions of the Sonoran Desert toad. And so it's quite short. And as a result, people usually have the courage to go quite deep. So in terms of the benefits, Sagan and I find that it's very helpful to use in a whether you will clinical or ceremonial setting because it within one day, whether it's our a group session or individual session, we can serve multiple doses, sometimes up to 5 doses, and within that, it's to me, it's similar to why people would do, say, psilocybin sessions across many months. So within one day, we can go into several journeys. So for me personally, that's the biggest benefit of it within the societal context that we're in nowadays.
Thank you, Helena. And yeah, it's so interesting. So people may have also heard of it as toad medicine, right? Coming from that Sonoran desert toad, which I always wonder, how did they find that out? That's what I'd like to know. But okay, so we've talked a bit about, what it is, when it was discovered, how it's served. We did talk a little bit about how it's served as in like ceremonial setting and clinical setting in that you can take, 4 or 5 servings even in one day. But you know what? I'd love to learn more about, how do people consume 5-MeO? Like, what are the methods of consumption in let's talk large dose and microdose in here because I think there's some difference as to definitely more standard ways of consumption and preferred ways of consumption. So maybe you can talk about how are people consuming this medicine as in the methods of consumption?
Yeah, for sure. So I'd say so the two broad categories are smoked and intranasal. So I'd say smoked is by far the most popular way of taking it, especially when you're taking large doses. Smoked is just a very effective way of getting there quite quickly, and sort of that classical experience that a lot of people seek with high doses of 5-MeO. This is the ego disillusion, non-dual state that the 5-MeO is very good at producing. Smoking gets you there very quickly. With the lower doses and medium doses, smoking is also an option. The intranasal route's also very interesting. It's got a bit of a different character from smoking. So smoking, it's very quick. Like I mentioned, the onset is about 10 seconds until you're, well, 10 seconds until you're really feeling it, probably, with a high dose, maybe a minute until you're at the peak, and then the whole experience, depending on the dose and depending on your own metabolism, is probably between 20 to 45 minutes. With intranasal, the whole thing gets slowed down and stretched out. So when people are talking about higher doses, it's more of a 10-minute gradual ramp up, say a 20-minute peak, and then coming down, where the experience probably lasts in total about an hour. So, it's I think one of the things that's really nice about smoking, especially when you're doing it in a safe, facilitated or, trusted container, is that, you're very quickly in the experience. There isn't this sort of this anxiety of, when's this going to happen, and you're also out of it very quickly. So even if it's a very difficult experience, you're coming out of it quite quickly. But I guess one of the things that's quite nice about the intranasal route is that so there's and there's different ways of taking it, right? You can take it as a powder that's sort of blown into the nose, kind of in a similar way to hapé. But one way that we find quite safe and quite accessible is using spray bottles. So that's using the 5-MeO DMT salt dissolved in sterile water. And the nice thing about this is that it's quite easy to measure the dosage accurately. So if you know the concentration of the spray bottle, and there's various people that produce these spray bottles, then you can know what you're putting, 1.5 milligrams in each nostril. It's a fairly standardized thing, and you can have a fairly consistent light experience.
That is super interesting, all these different ways that people are consuming, from smoking to hapé style to intranasal spray, which I think might be new for some people to hear about. Is there a difference, like ones that are more suitable to microdosing than and ones that are more suitable for macrodosing?
Yeah, well, I think one of the big distinctions that I see really is sort of safety doing it alone versus, in a facilitated context. So I think, one of the big dangers with 5-MeO is that, we're working with an extremely potent substance that's hard to measure accurately, unless you have, the right equipment and some practice in it. So I think, smoking can work well for microdosing, but the problem is that it's very hard to measure, say, 1 milligram accurately, and it's easy to measure yourself a lot more than you're expecting and to go into a much deeper experience. So I think, from that perspective of, it being sort of this pre-measured thing, the spray bottle works well. I guess the other thing, you know, that's worth mentioning is that there are a lot of vape pens that are, you know, coming onto the market right now, 5-MeO-DMT vape pens. And, you know, I think that, you know, one caution we have there, and I think in theory they can work very well, you know, because you can take a little sip, sort of see how you respond to it. But I think, you know, one of the things that we've heard a lot about and seen a lot is that, you know, there's a lot of variability in you know, what people consider to be a small sip, you know, of the smoke, you know, and we've seen a lot of people launch into much deeper experiences than they were expecting on the vape pens. And I think it's just a caution there, especially if you're doing this alone, if you're not familiar with this medicine, just if you are using a vape pen, to just be extremely cautious until you know how your own body responds to it. Because it, yeah, it's a, I think it's less standardized than the say the intranasal spray.
Very good warning about that. In fact, I can say that I've experienced that myself. The dose might not be exactly the dose that you think you're getting, but let's talk about dose. What is a microdose of 5-MeO-DMT? What would be recommended as the dose range for, you know, a microdose?
Yeah, I can speak to that, and maybe to preface, it seems to me in general, Sega and I overall serve lower doses than some other facilitators. So it is possible some of the doses I'll mention may sound light to some people. And I just want to preface that with I think it really depends on who we each are as an individual, the people we attract and want to work with us. So I think ultimately the dosage is depending on each of our own purpose or goal, what we want to feel, and also how ready we are, and just how each of us we respond to this medicine. So and maybe I'll just talk in measure terms, because when we're talking about vape pen, it's sometimes a bit hard to figure out how much we're actually smoking. But when we're serving in our low dose sound bath, we start with 1 milligram. And for a vast majority of our clients now, even if the intention is to go to higher doses, and higher doses could be, say, usually going up to 10, but it's actually been more and more often that folks can just finish on 6 or 7, and that's actually an extremely profound journey for them. And it looks that way, and it feels that way. And when we hear from our clients, that's also they had a profound experience. So we've shifted away from perhaps what each of these number would mean for that person. We talk about what it could mean, but we usually like to really just step it up experientially. And on the nasal spray, then it's usually we need more in order to achieve a similar effect, but then it will be longer. And the nasal spray we use is at 1.5. I'll pass it to Sagan to talk about the nasal spray.
Sure. Yeah, they come in different concentrations. I think, yeah, we've used one that's 1.5 milligrams per spray. But I think, you know, one thing that's important to know is that the dosage intranasally is quite different from smoked. And, you know, to make it even more complicated, the sort of the ratio of how much you need intranasally, I think, depends a lot on the individual that's taking it. So, you know, we often see that you need somewhere between 3 to 5 times as much. obviously starting on the more conservative end. But it's again, I think with all of these things, it's really good to start low, to start in the conservative side, and then, over a number of journeys to see, if you need to ramp it up, dosage wise, rather than jumping into the deep end.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's very personalized. This is such a powerful medicine. You definitely don't want to go overboard. But one thing I'm interested in is what I'm learning and what I'm hearing from you today too, is you are working with people to determine an optimal microdose. When we usually talk about microdosing in this room, microdosing with plant medicines, with psychedelic substances, we're usually talking about specific protocols. Some days on, some days off. We're not looking for the effect on the day so much as we're looking for the long-term benefit. Many of the things that we discuss are based on what we've heard from Dr. James Fadiman. Hello, James. Jim, down there in the audience, thank you for being here with us today. But what I'm hearing from you, Helena and Segun, is perhaps a very different model for microdosing 5 than microdosing as we commonly know it in this room. So would people be considering perhaps having a protocol that they use microdosing 5 for, or is it more of an occasion here and there, or how can you explain a protocol around this in the context of what we know about microdosing other psychedelic medicines?
Yeah, I think it definitely brings complications when it's a medicine that has such a short half-life. When smoke, it's under 20 minutes, so it actually physically leaves our body very quickly. Unlike, say, microdosing something like LSD, that there's a trace amount that's in our body, say, that can last for an entire day. That makes sense for a daily protocol. So I also just want to share that in the 5-MeO-DMT space that we're part of, that is decentralized by nature, there are lots of beautiful creativity in it. So I think this is over a year ago that Trina, the founder of Toad School, started a microdosing experiment in the fall. So the intention was for the entire month that we'll all wake up, whoever's interested. I believe it was to smoke 1 milligram in the morning. Sega and I participated together. I remember I lasted for about a week because it was beautiful. It brought up a lot of the material, but it's very different from microdosing other medicines. It is not subperceptual, and it felt like it was a full-on experience in the morning. I maybe the closest example, I actually don't have that close of example. I was gonna compare it to morning yoga, but the kind of spiritual connection or insight, it was just beautiful. And at that being said, when we were talking about the nasal spray, I think with one spray of a low dose nasal spray, it can probably be sub-perceptual. So I think it is a space that has room for experimentation. I think it's definitely possible to also develop protocol. I mean, Sega and I develop protocol too for these community sound baths and for macro dose. And it'll be more interesting with the micro dose. But I understand from Trina that we're also now exploring oral administration of 5-MeO-DMT that can last longer. So it seems to me that the way that microdose can be traditionally understood can also have the tools soon. But meanwhile, I think the the method that will most closely resemble that would be the nasal spray.
Yes, from my experience, I would agree with that as well. And wish I could actually pin Toad School up a link to that because for the any of you that are interested in going a bit deeper with five and with training, Toad School is where I was trained, as well as Helena and Sagan and a few others, I believe, in this room. And I think one of the most amazing things about Toad School is this incredible community that we get, where we do get to do these experiments together and to report back to each other and to hear all these amazing creative ways that people are combining microdoses with other modalities and creating beautiful events for people. Yeah, it's just an amazing resource. So I would try to pin that link, but I'd also, first of all, like to try and pin earthlings.institute, which is Helena and Sagan's website. But Wendy, I don't know how to pin on this using Club Deck, which I don't usually use. So if you know how, can you pin earthlings.institute to this room? Yeah, I just apologies for that, people, but I will also put, oh, Helena's put the link to Toad School in our chat, and I will also put earthlings.institute. But I do wish that I knew how to pin your website, my friends. Everybody who's just joined us, this is the Flourish Academy's weekly Thursday Psychedelic Microdosing 101 room, and today we are talking about microdosing 5-MeO-DMT. There's been a lot of interest from the community to have a conversation about this, and there are a few people I know who are less, who are more, sorry, more experienced and thoughtful in their approaches to serving this medicine than Helena and Sagan. So I'm so pleased to have them here with us today. And I see that Wendy has shared earthlings.institute, pinned that to the top of our room. So I'll get a lesson on that after this room. Apologize in advance for any kind of technical things. I'm going back to using Club Deck, which is the laptop or PC version of Clubhouse, and I'm a little out of my depth, just getting used to it. But so far, so good. Helena and Sagan, one of the things I really wanted to talk about was safety and safety and enhancement in the context of serving this medicine in community, and to learn a little bit more about your sound baths. So maybe you can address, healing in community, the power, the benefits, how it's safe, and a little bit more about how you have specifically created these events with sound bath and microdoses together.
Thank you, Dana. And when we're speaking about safety, I just want to speak to some of the elements that I think perhaps people are not as aware of. I just really want to honor you, Dana, in this process because the first community low-dose sound bath that I did was with Vancouver Woman Psychedelics, and Dana definitely championed that, including providing the space, the physical space that is safe, that running physical events with psychedelics can be very, alarming for physical space providers, and very understandably so. It usually takes an incredible amount of mutual understanding and risk management for that to happen, and including advertising. Dan, I don't know about your journey, but Sega and I, we have a lot of accounts that are, shut down, and payment processors that don't want to process the our sound bath, and then talking to them, talking with fellow community members on what could work well, etc. So how I see it is that doing this work is carving out a path, and it's beautiful when we very rewarding when we find a way at the end. And so first of all, it's just that safety for ourselves and for others, to even find exactly where it's safe to do this work. And Secondly, and I'll just give one simple example on why I quite appreciate at this stage of 5-MeO-DMT to be offering these low-dose community sound bath, and which eventually can also move toward more knowledge and more exposure, understanding that we can also have these more accessible in even more private settings, if that's what serves. Our low dose sound baths right now, usually one third of the room is their first time with 5-MeO-DMT. And just when we're at the closing circle, usually one thing we bring up is if anybody has trouble driving home right now, please speak up in the circle while everyone's here so then we can all figure out a solution together on how we can all be safe. And if there's any other concerns, please bring it to the community. So I think that example illustrates how just having everyone there can create that safety. And I think by sheer fact of being in the same room, everybody is exposed to the way others could respond to the medicine. And I think that exposure will also be very helpful for eventually if each of us are holding space for ourselves, being there for ourselves, or being there for our friends, or introducing this to our friends or loved ones down the line. How I see it is that a substance like alcohol, it's enjoyed with friends, it's sometimes enjoyed by oneself, and we understand it a lot better. So to me, it's really how 5-MeO-DMT or any other medicine or substance or can enter our lives. It's just how it can serve each of us and how well we understand it and how we want to integrate it and what feels right.
Wow, I really, really appreciate your approach to this super powerful medicine that a lot of people are being introduced to and are not necessarily well educated or well versed on how to be safe and how to use this medicine for great benefit, in all doses, actually. But I think it's rather newer to the microdosing world, so I think there's a lot of education needed, and I really appreciate your approach and even your soft-spoken voice. I have to say, like, it just like calms my whole nervous system down just listening to both of you speaking, and this the calmness and the confidence and wisdom that you have around this medicine. It really makes me feel safe just listening to you. It's interesting that you were talking about, like, even just having to check in with people about driving home afterwards, because I mean, how many psychedelic medicines could you take where you would actually have the ability to drive home afterwards? It's so interesting how quickly this medicine can move through your body. And what I hear a lot is, oh, it's fine to drive after, but like, just really, really good to hear that you do have that check-in, because as we know, this can affect everybody just so differently. If anybody's interested in these community sound baths, if you're in the Greater Vancouver area, do check out Helena and Sagan Earthlings dot institute. The website is pinned to the top there. And if you're interested in further education around five, be sure to follow them on Instagram. And just, they're always posting wonderful things on there, and they have an incredible newsletter as well, which you can find if you navigate over to their website. So I kind of love and kind of loathe this moment that I turn the mics over to everybody else to ask their questions, because I always have so much more I'd love to get into. But this is a community, and this is a community conversation. I invite anybody who's interested in conversing with Helena around and Sagan around this topic, asking them any questions that are on your mind, or even maybe sharing your own stories, to put your hand up, come on up, join us on the stage. We're going to be moving around. around to audience participation now. For those of you who are new into the room, welcome to the Flourish Academy. This is our weekly Thursday room, Psychedelic Microdosing 101, and we are talking about microdosing 5-MeO-DMT with Helena and Sagan, who are the founders of Earthlings Dot Institute up here in Vancouver, Canada, in my hometown, in my stomping ground. So with that, I'm going to start moving around the room, and we'll start with my co-moderator. Thank you so much for being with us, as always, Wendy, and just see if there's anything that you might like to contribute to the conversation.
Good morning or afternoon. Happy now. Lee's here. Thank you for bringing this conversation in. I don't have much to add. I don't have much experience with 5-MeO. I do microdose for ACO, but those are two different, you know, molecules. So they're a little bit, you know, a little bit different, but I'm just learning and sitting back and listening. So thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much for being here. As always, you're such a great support, and we learn so much from you. So thank you. Oh, Wendy is hosting a room next Wednesday morning. People just say, and Wednesday is a co-moderator with the Flourish Academy, and we host rooms 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and next Wednesday, if you're interested in entheogens and the divine feminine, Wendy's going to be talking and sharing her expertise around sacred dance. So come and join us next Wednesday. In the meantime, let me just do a little pull to refresh here. Next on my stage was Josh, but he must have had to run. I was so excited to have Josh here because he is a previous moderator of the Flourish Academy rooms, and he actually traveled all the way to Vancouver specifically to work with Helena and Sagan for his own experience with 5. So I was hoping we'd catch him, but I guess we just missed him. So I'm going to move around. Next on my pull to refresh, we have Kathy Hudson, and it looks like you're new to Clubhouse, Kathy, but welcome to the Flourish Academy. And what is on your mind? If you can figure out how to, there you go.
Oh man. I'm not great at being put on the spot. I was just popping in because I'm obviously very curious to learn more about Bufo and 5-MeO, having sat with Bufo a couple of times myself, and really, I mean, it's just been hugely beneficial for me, having, you know, suffered from long-term, you know, depression and anxiety. So knowing how that has helped me has kind of inspired me to, you know, learn to become a psychedelic guide myself and see how I can contribute and help others in this space. And so I'm kind of new to it, and I'm just in a, you know, info gathering mode, trying to learn as much as I can. And so that's why I'm here. And so it's been helpful to hear about, you know, being able to microdose Bufo. I've not had that experience. So, It's such a powerful medicine that just the, you know, the microdosing aspect is definitely interesting and something I would like to try at some point. So anyway, that's why I'm here. Thank you.
Hey, Kathy. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, you know, in terms of wanting to work with these medicines as a guide, I think, you know, developing a personal relationship as deeply as possible with the medicines is really important. So yeah, I think microdosing can be a really good entry point into that, to really learning how, you know, this medicine shows up in different states of mind that we approach it, different places in our life. So yeah, I very much encourage that. And also just really want to encourage you on your journey to guiding. Helena and I found it's a incredibly rewarding, though often challenging in its own way, path. So, but that's beautiful that you want to do that. So really sending you all the good wishes and encouragement for that path.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, Kathy, thank you so much for being here. And yeah, I encourage you as well. It's great to hear more and more people gaining expertise in this area and being able to share it with others who are interested in a safe, informed, harm reducing and transformational way. So yeah, we're so happy to have you here with us. Thank you. We are going to move around to our friend Bailey. Hi, Bailey. Welcome to the stage. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Dana. It's Bailey speaking. I'm very pleased to hear a discussion of the toad medicine. I hold toad and visit toad quite often. This discussion of microdosing, I wish we could use a different terminology because Jim invented the term microdosing specifically in the context of acid. And the research that's out there as to the benefits of it at subperceptual levels are all in terms of the myelin sheaths and other measures of how robust your nervous system is. Low-dose toad can be very rewarding. I hate hearing it called microdosing. It's so deceptive. The other thing I want to say is that I'm a big defender of high dose, major dosages, because the therapeutic value of 5-MeO doesn't require any processing post the work. Transformation just occurs. In terms of my ability to release anger and depression and suicidality, has just been a marvel. And my first 6 or 7 toad experiences were total blackouts. I had no memory whatsoever of what happened, but I was transformed. So that's all I got to say on the subject. And thanks for holding it down.
Yeah, Bailey, I completely resonate with you on the terminology point there. I think it's, it is very interesting that, you know, these low doses, it's very much not non-subperceptual, like you said. It's a journey in itself. And I think, you know, yeah, I mean, I guess in a technical sense, if we're talking about a microdose being a small dose, you know, like versus macro, I guess, you know, there's some technical validity there, but at the same time, I think it's a bit misleading when we compare, you know, to a microdose of LSD, you know, that it's really, a low dose of a 5-MeO is a very transporting experience. It's very much something that takes over your experience for that short period of time. And it's not something that you're going to, you know, cook breakfast while you're doing, for example, you know. And and also, yeah, thank you for speaking up about you know, the power of macro doses. I very much have a lot of respect for macro doses, and I think that's hugely important. So appreciate you speaking to that.
Yeah, thank you so much, Bailey, for being here and for contributing those insights and thoughts to the conversation. Actually, it kind of resonates with me as well to the terminology of microdosing with 5-MeO-DMT, because it is a very low dose, but it's so different than our context, our current modern day context of what microdosing is and how microdosing is. The protocols around microdosing, I suppose. So I'm very interested in that concept of using different terminology, like just low dose rather than microdose for this medicine. I'm interested, Helena and Sagan, in your thoughts around what Bailey had shared about the large dose journeys, not needing the integration afterwards or the support afterwards. What's your experience and your feedback on that?
Well, Sega and I are very pro-integration, but at the same time, I really want to honor, Bailey, your experience and each person's experience. And I've also been just reflecting on what you're sharing, and I think how I see it is that there's a difference between what each of us find most beneficial for ourselves as a individual, and there's also a different role that Sega and I play when we're facilitators. When we're facilitators, we support people until the end. We have our structured integration process, but we also even at our low dose SANVAT, we have a sharing circle immediately, and we usually funnel folks who really want to talk about it at our integration circle. But the truth is, not everybody needs to share, where it might not even be beneficial for them to share at a community sound bath, and not to mention, not everybody even wants to come do 5-MeO DMT in a community setting. So I think it's actually not surprising at all that for some people that the medicine just works, and that there may not be that interaction that's needed. And as I'm reflecting on some of my own experience, it might be a personality thing. I really love to dwell and savor, but that's not only 5-MeO. So actually, this has got me thinking, and yeah, I will be quite interested to chat more after if you're interested. But for me, I definitely continue to think about and talk about even my physical trips to places in the world. And that at the same time, even for clients who do talk about their experience, usually there's a huge aspect of the journey itself that it's like, I don't, and maybe the best example I'll give from one of Sagan and my clients is that they had high blood pressure, and immediately after, I believe was a low medium dose, the chronic high blood pressure just went down to normal, and it stayed that way, I think, for several months until other stressors came. I thought that was incredible, and I couldn't explain it. So I think that resonates with what Bailey was sharing.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sagan, did you want to add something to that as well?
Yeah, maybe just one thing that I'd add there is, one thing, like Bailey was saying, there's this huge one word we like to use is cathartic, aspect of the medicine, where there's just so much emotion, so much energy that travels and gets released, when you're actually in the medicine experience. But one place we do see integration playing more of a role is, this question of, well, how do we sustain this sort of this freedom, this openness that we've accessed in the medicine in an ongoing way, without having to keep tapping into the medicine? And for many people, not everyone, but for many people, they sort of see coming to the medicine as, well, I'm hoping for this sort of this long-term change where I don't need to continue to have this relationship with the medicine. And I think, from my perspective, it's a valid choice. It's also a valid choice to want to continue to have a relationship with the medicine as Helena and I have, but for those people that want to see those changes endure without the medicine, then there's that question, well, now that the medicine has pointed out this place that's possible for me to reach, well, what kind of practices can I bring into my life to start to cultivate that without the medicine? Like, how, now that way has been pointed out for me, how can I start to cultivate that in my life? So, yeah, I'd say that's kind of the one of the big places we see integration playing a role.
Yeah, I have more questions around that at the large dose at the large dose dosage particularly, what Bailey was saying is of not having any memory at all. But this is Psychedelic Microdosing 101, and this is audience participation time. So perhaps if we have room at the end, we can circle back to that. But let's keep moving around the room. We have one of our resident experts here, about to release a new book about microdosing with all the latest goods and research, along with Dr. James Fadiman. And Jordan, we are so happy to have you here. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi guys. So glad to be in this room. And Helena, and say again, your voice, it's obviously you've done the work, just hearing how you talk and how calm you are with everybody. As to Bailey's comments, first of all, Jim did not invent the term microdosing. A fellow named Davivid Rose from Berkeley invented it in 1981. So I just wanted to set that straight. But overall, I'm completely in agreement with Bailey. My wish is that you would stop using the word microdosing for DMT. In the book, which goes to the publisher tomorrow, we classify DMT as sometimes spoken of in microdosing terms. Let me just tell you my little story. I was at a party a month ago. Well, it was a friend was dying. She only had a few days left. And a friend and ex-lover, a really amazing person, and her son was there, and he had a DMT vape pen. He was about 4 feet away from me when he exhaled, and the smoke alone sent all my alarm bells, not alarm bells, but like I knew what it was, even though he just exhaled from a few feet away. And then I did have a little toke, and I absolutely loved it, but it felt to me like I was completely immersed, although it was only my toe was completely immersed in a major psychedelic reality. And I stayed in that kind of level of highness for over a day. And, you know, when you go back to the definitions of microdosing, Jim said subperceptual, but that was kind of a mistake. It should have been subthreshold. Almost everybody knows if they're on a microdose, which is why double-blind experiments often fail. So the real key that we've come to now is that you experience no major changes in consciousness and you experience no intoxication. My feeling is that DMT is so strong that even from an exhaled breath 4 feet away, I began a substantial change in consciousness and I was a bit intoxicated. So I understand that you could keep reducing it and these intranasal sprays and the smoking, but I think, you know, my view is that DMT is just, it doesn't look like microdosing. It doesn't look like the protocols we've evolved where we have 32 health conditions now from anorexia to zoster. That's right. I figured out the A to Z with shingles and zoster. And all the amazing things people are having on the positive side of uses with music and creativity and art, all of these people, pretty much with a few exceptions, like with shingles, are following something like the ordinary protocols and taking the time off and not having any of the things that DMT brings. So I think DMT is great. I would actually love to have a facilitated higher level trip because in the past I was with friends and didn't remember anything and it was amazing, but you know, there wasn't enough to come out of it for me. Although I did with Jim write a review in the Journal of Near Death Studies on the book, The Spirit Molecule. But in terms of it being for microdosing, I mean, I guess my question to you would be, what would you lose by not referring it to as microdosing, I'm just calling it low dosing, other than an association with microdosing, which is getting very, very popular? Because I don't want to rain on anybody's parade, and I would actually work with you guys personally, but I just don't think it serves anybody to call what you do with DMT a microdosing. I probably put a sharper point on that than I need to, but I'm so deep in this book, and it goes out tomorrow, and I just reread what we wrote about this, and it's just DMT is just too strong. You don't microdose with it. You don't know what's going to happen. So I'm repeating myself, and I don't mean to. I really appreciate what you guys have done, and I'll stop now. Thank you.
I gotta say, super quick, dude. Book going to the publisher tomorrow. Congratulations, that's rad.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, Jordan. Looking forward to that. Helena and Sagan, do you want to respond to Jordan?
Sure, I can. And Jordan, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and thoughtfulness. And for me, specifically with our sound vats serving, say, low-dose smoked or low-dose snuffed, we've also called it meditative dose at a different point. And, Sagan and I and Dana have had a few conversations on what to name this conversation. And I also felt at peace with microdosing, and part of it was quite selfish and, you know, 5-MeO DMT is such a niche medicine, often feel othered and not understood. So when Dana was willing to open her arms to say 5-MeO can also be part of the microdosing room, I was a part of me was very happy and felt accepted and felt that this can come into the microdosing paradigm. And at the same time, I very much agree with what Jordan's pointing out. So I think it depends on how much we want to stick to the origins of microdosing and how much of it is that we're willing to accept that at this stage of the means of administration for 5-MeO DMT, that it's more often than not perceptual. I agree with the sub-threshold, but I've definitely had some deep journeys even on low doses. That being said, I do think it feels like it could be integrated more like a morning ritual, and that the effects of it could carry on. But it's true, it's different from the way we approach, say, LSD or psilocybin microdoses for sure.
Yeah. Jordan, thank you so much for bringing that perspective to this room today. And Helena for your response to that. It's such an interesting conversation. I think we'll be having more conversations about this as well. And I do really understand that kind of othering of 5-MeO DMT and how to help people to understand the low doses is maybe fit it into spaces where people are talking about microdosing. So they have an opportunity to learn about the medicine and about consumption at these low doses. But yeah, I would say for myself as well, I don't think I've had sub-threshold low doses and microdoses. There's always been a threshold there. But yeah, great conversation. Thank you so much, Jordan and Helena and Sagan. We are going to keep moving around. We have a few more people we want to get to in the next few minutes. So we have Caleb next. Hi, Caleb. Welcome to the room. What's on your mind today?
Howdy there. Peace and blessings to all you fantastic beings. Good to be here. I'm not really entirely sure what I'd like to contribute apart from, I think really I dig more than anything being able to talk to, I guess I could say rationally minded people about, I don't know, just like the actual medicinal uses of psychedelics generally. I understand today we're specifically talking about, DMT, which has never been a part of a medicinal journey that I personally have, undertaken. Well, word on the street is that I take it every time I go to sleep. So maybe, but I've never consciously done it, if you guys follow what I'm saying. I'm no stranger to the psychedelic experience. I guess Jimi Hendrix might say that I am experienced. Anyway, okay. I guess the point is that I genuinely appreciate being here, and wanted to say hey to all you lovely humans, and yeah, cheers. Thanks.
Caleb, thank you so much for being here. It's always good to see you in these rooms. Helena Sagan, anything you want to respond before we move on? I think you're off. Okay, we're going to keep moving around. I see the hearts. Thank you for being here. Patrick, good to see you.
Hey folks, like, sorry, I've been so scarce. I've been laying low. Got a spring is in the air, so I'm doing a lot on the farm here, and just got back from Kauai. I'd never been to Kauai before. Amazing. The oldest of the Hawaiian Islands, and that was quite a trip. Mostly in the mushroom form and adventure hiking form. I hiked 25 miles in one day. To get to those places. But anyway, 5-MeO and DMT is one of the few psychedelics that I've actually not done. I've certainly been around a lot of people who have. There's a lot of sort of discussion around it, and I find it fascinating in the sense that it's one of the few. It's one of the few tryptamines. It's one of the few psychedelic tryptamines called psychedelic tryptamines that seems to not cause visuals so much. And so I'm kind of curious if there's any thoughts on that. And then there's this variation. And again, this is strictly from me connecting with other people about it. But it seems that there's like, I don't know, I'd love to get the numbers from some of you, but that like 25% of people hate it and 75% feel like they're being dumped in liquid love. So this is sort of like almost like a polar, either people love it or don't like it. And again, I'm not sure what that dose level is on. So again, I also find the concept of microdosing, because of doing low doses for 35 years of psilocybin and LSD, the lower dose is, it's really a different substance. Again, I try to even avoid the word medicine typically, and just see that dose level affects the action of many different things in the psychedelic realm. But yeah, I'm really curious about like the, and then of course the word integration, I think also integration is another concept that could mean a lot of different things, integrating into one's life, integrating the actual, are you integrating into life? Are you integrating the medicine into your life? Are you integrating yourself back into your life after an experience? In which case the microdose often, ideally, when one, at least in the current definition of microdosing, the integration wouldn't really be as important. And it would be more of like just like an awareness that something, you know, what it actually is. So is it the brain that's going through a change in the sense of some physiological, somatic, actual brain chemistry, you know, receptor sites, things like that being affected? Or is it some more cultural, social, personal transformation, you know, sort of spiritual versus spiritual, mental versus somatic? Anyway, lots there. And I'm really glad y'all are talking about it. This is a big one because people are definitely starting to use this. More and more people I know are out sitting for it and taking it on the road and serving it around. It's actually one of the first substances that I saw being sort of professionally, well, I don't know, professional is the wrong word, maybe. Well, maybe, I guess they were getting paid. But anyway, people going around and actually serving this one. And part of it's because it's less problematic in the larger doses, it seems like, except for the people that don't like it. And then maybe they'll need more. And that would be my question, I guess, is do people who have like a difficult time, do they need more integration? I'll just use the word integration since you are. Do they need more time to integrate the experience? Okay, thanks. Sorry, I'm all over the place.
Hey, Patrick. Yeah, really, really love your questions. So thank you for putting all those out there. Yeah, so I guess starting off with the visuals part, it's actually a really interesting attribute of 5-MeO. So, you know, compared to, you know, NMDMT, compared to, you know, LSD and mushrooms, yeah, we do find that 5-MeO tends to be quite a non-visual experience. And that's not to say that nobody has visuals, but perhaps the distinction that's worth making is, so say on NMDMT, a lot of people have these very characteristic sort of primary color, fractal type visuals. There's certainly something that seems kind of directly derived from the substance itself. Whereas, you know, the primary experience that most people have with 5-MeO-DMT is more of this, the sense, well, it's both bodily. There's, you know, especially in the lower doses, there can be a real sense of awareness of the body where energy is an emotion or either flowing or trapped in the body. And as the dosage increases, there can be this sense of just sort of this awareness of one's being, sort of existence and kind of that sort of core sense of self, you know, beyond everything that we confuse ourselves with. And then sometimes in this process, people do have, you know, visions, they do have, you know, imagery. But I kind of, you know, in my experience, I kind of see it a lot like, you know, say, you know, with MDMA, if you take an inward MDMA journey, it's possible to have sort of mental imagery that comes up in the mind, but it's not, you know, most people would say MDMA is not, you know, a primarily visual molecule either. So it's sort of similar, I think, in that way. It's sort of a, you know, it's one of the ways that our mind, you know, manifests its own relationship with this molecule.
Can we modify that a little? Because visual.
Okay,
so because so many people now are on medical cannabis, or they just simply use cannabis as a synergistic substance or another substance, but let's use cannabis as a classic. MDMA, yeah, typically isn't visual, but then if you get super high with cannabis on MDMA. The classic and often, you know, the fact that cannabis is a closed eye visual can cause closed eye visuals. They do feel like they're quite affected by the MDMA, right? So
yeah.
I'm curious, in your practice, is it okay for people to use cannabis, or if people are, say, on medical cannabis, so they're already high, do you notice any kind of correlation with particular effects, stronger, less effects, more visuals, anything like that?
Well, you know, in our practice, we ask people, you know, and this is, you know, just because I think we like to reduce the number of variables at play. We ask people not to be, you know, under the influence of anything else when they come in. But, you know, it's not to say that that's intrinsically problematic. It's just something that we, you know, we haven't really explored enough to be able to offer safely as facilitators ourselves. But I also just wanted to touch on the other point you brought up about difficult experiences and how, you know, there's a certain subset of people that have a really hard time with this medicine. And yeah, and I mean, I guess the way we see it is that, you know, for certain people, you know, there's a place of fear. There's a lot of difficult emotion that comes up in the experience. But, you know, we generally, and when I say generally, you know, I think it's pretty almost in all cases, you know, it's possible to work through that and to process that difficult emotion and get to another place. And I think, you know, for us, you know, the strategy that we have, the approach we have of, you know, starting low, working up through the low, medium, and higher doses, and often in a, you know, in an individual session, we'll offer, say, 5 separate doses. You know, one of the benefits of that is that, you know, as we work up, we start to see, well, here's where this difficulty is starting to show up. And then we can stay at that level without going deeper into it. So we've got a certain sort of titrated amount of, all right, this is fear, you know, well, you know, how are we going to be with this fear and relate to this fear and let this fear move? And then perhaps, you know, instead of, you know, amping up the dose a little bit more, you know, we'll have that conversation between doses about how to relate to that experience. And then we'll come back to the same dosage level or maybe a slightly lower dosage level. And then, you know, really have that invitation to, you know, to be with that difficult experience. And, you know, usually when people allow themselves to fully embrace whatever difficulty is coming up, usually that's, you know, that's the beginning of that dissolving. And, you know, there can be a lot of, you know, it can be a lot of positive emotion, a lot of love, or it can just be sort of whatever is the next layer in their process that comes after it. So, you know, yeah, for us, you know, seeing that there's difficult emotion is definitely not, to us that discouraging. It's kind of just like, oh, well, this is what's presenting. And, you know, with the client's willingness, you know, and especially if this is what they want to work on in the session, then that can be a very positive thing.
Nice. Thank you. I feel like those are really satisfactory answers for what I really feel like is a new psychedelic to most of the psychedelic underground, the psychedelic world. And I realize it was used in some ways traditionally by indigenous people, and who knows in the past, but because it's so fairly new, I think it's just really interesting that people are approaching it and bringing it out. So I just want to give you total kudos and honor all of your work. So thank you with my sometimes difficult questions and meandering mind.
Oh, thank you so much for bringing your meandering mind here, Patrick. We always welcome you with open arms, your insights, your shares, your questions. I put a reaction of exclamation, exclamation when you said that you actually haven't consumed 5-MeO yourself, because I think you're one of the most experimental people I know in this community. So yeah, interesting. Thank you so much for being here. And we're going to move around to Lauren. Hi, Lauren. Welcome to the Flourish Academy and Psychedelic Microdosing 101. What's on your mind? Just give you a second to see if you're available to join us, Lauren. If you are, it's bottom right-hand side on your phone. There is a... Oh, she's gone. Okay. Well, let's move around to our friend Stephen then. Stephen, I know you've been waiting for this room. You probably have lots of questions. Over to you.
I do. Thank you, Dana. Most of the questions, I think, have been answered by you guys. I think... My biggest question was, there's something that's marketed online that is a 5-MeO DMT vape product, a microdose product that I was considering experimenting with. But based upon today's session, I think I'm going to kind of back off for now. But I will probably just redirect the question to you on a different subject. I've done BUFO and I've done 5-MeO DMT. Full journeys multiple times, and I've had really incredible experiences with both. But I wanted to ask you what your opinion was of the purity of BUFO as opposed to synthetic product, if you feel there's a difference between the two. And if so, what do you feel the difference is?
Yeah. So in our practice, we work with the synthetic exclusively for a number of reasons, including purity. You know, there's also conservation reasons to work with the synthetic. You know, from our understanding, and perhaps we're not, you know, I'm not the best person to be answering this question, but from my understanding with the natural BUFO excretions, you know, there is some natural variation in the amount of 5-MeO-DMT that is present in each batch. So you sort of have to calibrate the dose based on your understanding of the batch, or some people just have the approach of giving, you know, an extremely high dose and, you know, just sort of with the attitude that, you know, it's enough to push you over threshold. But one of the really nice things about working with synthetic is you can be quite... quite precise in the dosage. You know, the product that we work with, and you know, I think there's a lot of good 5-MeO DMT that's available. You know, it's all quite pure. You know, we've sent it for third party testing, and that's we're very satisfied with the purity of what's available. So yeah, I'm not sure if that answers your question. I think don't quote me on this, but I think BUFO excretions are somewhere in the ballpark of like 15% 5-MeO-DMT, though I think that can easily vary by quite a large margin in each direction.
Right. My facilitator agrees with you, and I agree with you about the more precise dosing and also preservation of the toad. So I'm totally on board with your approach. Thank you for this room. I mean, this was really a resourceful experience for me. So I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm so glad you could make it, Stephen. Stephen was one of our community members who's been specifically asking for a room around microdosing, or low dose, as we're maybe calling it 5-MeO-DMT. So I'm so glad you could make it. And we are hitting our time, but we always try to get around to everyone on the stage. So we're going to move over to Lauren and then to John before we wrap up for the day. Yay, you made it back, Lauren. Over to you. Oh, you did it. I saw you come off mic for a second. There you go. Oh, there. Okay, try talking. Oh, I see you coming off of mute, Lauren, and so you we should be able to hear you when you push that unmute button. I can see it happening, but then I can't hear you talking. Oh dear. Okay. Well, let's. Okay. Wait. I saw it there. Talk now, Lauren. We should be able to hear you. Darn. I don't know what's happening there. Sometimes if you go out of the room and then you come back, it fixes that problem. So why don't we move around to John and we'll wait for you and see if we can still get you back. Maybe try exiting the room and coming back in and we'll invite you back up to the stage. And with that, we will move around to John. Hi, John. Nice to have you here.
Hi, Donna. I want to thank you for your incredible leadership in this room. It's awesome. My question is relating to a new distributor of interesting stuff in San Francisco. This is called Ambrosia's Door. And I understand they offer a DMT vape pen. Referring back to the earlier discussion of vape pens in this room this morning, is it likely to be 5-MeO DMT or just DMT, or where would I get the vape pens that Helena and Sagan were talking about?
Oh, John, that's such a good question. And I'm sure you are not the only person who is curious about that. In this room, just to keep things above board, we don't talk about sourcing, but you could feel free to reach out to Helena and Sagan after the room. We just don't cover that in this room.
Thank you, Donna. I'd forgotten that. Absolutely. I was aware of it and it slipped my mind. Sorry about that.
No worries. No worries at all. We're going to try one more time for Lauren before we wrap it up. Oh, I can see you trying. How frustrating. All right. Hey, Jonathan, if you have something you want to add in, Lauren, maybe put it in the chat. And yeah, Sagan, did you want to add something more?
Yeah, no, and I think just to follow up to John's, the more general point. Yeah, I think it's really worth contacting whichever supplier you're talking about and getting clarity on which molecule is in the vape pen, because both NNDMT and 5-MeO-DMT vape pens exist, and there's a big difference between the two. So it's good to know.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'll just share a quick tip. Usually, say suppliers for 5-MeO-DMT vape pen also sell it in powder form. We always get their powder form and test it for purity. My thinking is, if your powder is not even pure, then your vape pen likely isn't either. And I think that can apply to all medicines too.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you for that valuable, valuable input, Helena and Sagan. It has been incredibly informative and delightful to have Helena Zhu and Sagan Bollinger here in the Flourish Academy's Psychedelic Microdosing 101 room, where we have been talking about microdosing, or maybe low dosing, 5-MeO-DMT. It's Helena and Sagan, before we wrap up for today, I just want to pass it over to you and see if you have any last words or if there's anything that we didn't get around to that you'd really love to share with the room before we close up for today.
Thank you so much, Dana, and just a lot of gratitude, like many others have referred to, for your leadership. I'm always extremely impressed by how well-run and how helpful these Clubhouse meetings are, and I'm completely inspired. And we have our next self-contact retreat next weekend, but the one we're intaking for is going to be on June 21st to 23rd. So about 4 to 6 participants. It's in Sagan's family home on an island close to Vancouver. And we're just so excited about the deep work that's possible there in community. And we still also have our individual sessions in Vancouver. And for those around, our low-dose sound bath are definitely our baby right now. And we work with a wonderful space. And our next one is March 30, Saturday. And just flowing gratitude for this space and for you, Dana, for everyone who was willing to join us. And even some of the folks that I didn't respond to. I was just taking in your awesome energy and presence, and just so happy to be here and so happy that each of us and all of us are creating this community and space together. And it's awesome to be alive today.
Just really want to echo Helena's sentiments there. Yeah, thank you so much, Jana, for your facilitation, for your hosting of this. That's a beautiful space you create here. And really, really happy, really honored to be part of it. And thank you so much for all the really thoughtful, thought-provoking questions from the community. I think these questions really make this a really fruitful, really powerful conversation. So a lot of gratitude for that as well. Thank you, everybody.
Oh, thank you so much, Helena and Sig. And yes, I know that we definitely share our passion for healing in community and developing and cultivating communities that are safe and inclusive. And it's just it's just so great to have you here. I can highly recommend everybody this self-contact retreat. If like come to Vancouver, it's on Bowen Island, which is just a short ferry ride out of Vancouver. If you're not in Vancouver, I know a number of people have traveled up stateside to work with Helena and Sagan, and they have this beautiful, beautiful space to do it and an amazing community. As we were saying, Josh Megro, who was here earlier with us and used to be a moderator with the Flourish Academy, traveled up here and had a life-changing experience with Helena and Sagan that he still talks about to this day and warms my heart. But on that topic of community, there is a local community here in Vancouver that's called the Flying Sage Community, and it is the preeminent psychedelic community in Vancouver. It hosts events 4 or 5 times per week in person, everything from weekly cold plunges at Kitts Beach to weekly 4 ACO breathwork sessions. It's just beautiful. And they've recently expanded to have online offerings as well. Sagan's putting his thumb up. Sagan and I are both community leaders with the Flying Sage. So they now have offers that make this community really, really appealing to you no matter where you are in the world. And one of the things that Helena, Sagan, and I, and Michael Oliver, who is the founder of the Flying Sage, all 100% have our hearts around is the importance of community. And Michael Oliver, who started the Flying Sage, he's going to be coming to talk to us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in our weekly Psychedelics 101 room about building psychedelic community. So please come and join us tomorrow if that's of interest to you, or even just to be part of our Flourish Academy family, our beautiful community here that we've built and nurtured here on the Clubhouse platform. The Flourish Academy hosts rooms and shows here three times a week, and Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays. Wednesday next week, Wendy is hosting Entheogens and the Divine Feminine, and she's going to be talking about sacred dance. And next week on Friday in the Psychedelics Room, we have peer accountability in psychedelic facilitation. So if you are a facilitator in this space, come and join us with our guest, Ashley Carman, who is the founder of the Psychedelic Guide Network, to talk about peer accountability in psychedelic facilitation. Next week, Thursday, in our Psychedelic Microdosing 101 room, I do not yet have a topic or a guest lined up. I just noticed in the schedule I got a blank week. So that means, what do you guys want to talk about or hear about? What kind of guest would you like to have? What would you like me to deep dive into with you? Or what would you maybe like to come and share as a guest if you have an expertise in the world of microdosing? So next week at this point, my friends, is wide open. So let me know what you want to hear, or let me know if you want to share. Just reach out to me here on Clubhouse, or through Dana@theflourishacademy.org, or you can find me all over social on pretty much every channel under The Flourish Academy or Dana LJ Harvey. Let me know. This is your community. So how can I be of service? Helena and Sagan, thank you once again for joining us. And it's just such an honor to be able to host you and to be able to be peers and to collaborate with you in this space that we're all in together. With that, everybody, I'd love you to join me. This is a practice that I got from our lovely moderator, Wendy, anyone who's on the stage who wants to come off mic so we can take one big final deep breath of gratitude in and out. Go and have a wonderful week, everybody. See you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.